mechanism to try to rally support, and it won't work. And his problem is in the Arab world and Muslim world as well as it is in the rest of the world. So it's a rather frantic ploy to try to gather some support, but it's going to be ineffective. It will not work. Haven't got any reports yet from the Arab summit, one way or another.
Mr. President, are you confident there are enough American troops already in Saudi Arabia to be able to withstand any sort of assault? Basically, do you think American troops would be able to win?
To be able to withstand an assault on Saudi Arabia? Well, I think there's no evidence of right now that Saddam Hussein would be foolish enough to cross that border, but we have implemented the air power out there, air forces. Saudi has strong air power. Some of the Kuwaiti air force is there in Saudi Arabia. Other elements will be there. We have a carrier there, so I think our fighting men that are on the ground there will be safe. But I don't want to heighten concern because I've seen that they have not presented me with any evidence that the troops that have already been moved forward are being reinforced or that they are preparing to move across the Saudi border. They haven't even gotten there yet, so I can't estimate how long it'll be. I might say, since you mentioned the American people and asking them how long they should be supported, I am very pleased with the strong support for what we've done from the American people, indeed from around the world. I think it's been very gratifying, and I think it means that people understand that this aggression cannot go unchallenged. So in terms of the numbers, I'd prefer not to go into that. I never believe that it's good to pinpoint numbers of forces, and that's, of course, the way Dick Cheney and General Powell conducted themselves. So I can't give you any help on that right now, and I'm not going to even give you any estimates on it right now, but it will be a substantial force. And others will be coming in with more forces, too.
Preparation for an extensive capabilities on the ground. Can you invite us to use that in a way that would suggest that you're preparing for something other than a trip?
Listen, I'd love to see the economic sanctions be so successful that the forces could be withdrawn. But I think they will be successful. But I just can't, my problem is I just can't estimate the time right now, how long it will take. But there will be substantial force. There will be enough force to, so that Americans are protected from unwarranted attack. And it won't be just U.S. forces and Saudi forces. I view that as a prime responsibility, but you're right. There have been very disturbing reports of violence against citizens of several countries. And there was a report of a British airline stewardess having been violated and humiliated by Iraq soldiers. And there are scattered reports, but I will say that it's not just against Americans, but I think all countries are concerned about the safety of their citizens. And part of any planning has to be about how to protect citizens. Now, we all know the difficulties of that. If somebody does violence, like it's already taken place, as a matter of fact. So it worries me because I do view it as a prime responsibility. But I would say, I'm not going to go beyond that, and I'm not going to invite further harassment by elevating the value of any citizen. helpless? No. But as we've seen with hostage situations, and I don't think this is one, sometimes it's very difficult.
Mr. President, how can we Saddam's call for jihad? Is this just rhetoric?
Yeah, or rhetorical, because he's backed into a corner. He's been isolated by the rest of the world. Nobody supports him. And so he's trying to rally Arab support generally. The problem he's got is most of the Arab countries violently disapprove of what he's done. But he doesn't have many options, so he's resorting to radical rhetoric, trying to mobilize opinion. But his problem is everybody sees through this. Everybody around the world will see through this rhetoric.
We're meeting again today in Cairo. Are you frustrated that they haven't moved forward as of yet?
No. No, I think it's going well, and my talks with Arab leaders have been very supportive. But it's the right thing that you have an Arab meeting of this kind. I salute President Mubarak for having stayed with the idea. The more such meetings, the better. Maybe, just maybe, and I'm not too optimistic, somebody can talk some sense into this man who has been thoroughly censured by the rest of the world.
You say that Saddam is, that it's rhetoric that he's using, but is there no danger that that kind of rhetoric is likely to inflame the Saudi rank and file?
No, I don't see any danger. I think it's so extreme that people that are in Saudi Arabia, loyal to the king, they're not going to rise up when a corner radical tries to mobilize support when he has none. I mean, people see this so clearly that I wouldn't worry about that.
Mr. President, speaking of the safety of Americans, what about the safety of Americans outside of Iraq and Kuwait? What are you being told about the possibility of terrorist attacks?
Well, you always worry about that. As you know, I've worried about that for a long time, long before this incident. And indeed, Americans are still being held against their will, probably in Lebanon. And this will continue to concern me wherever they are, whether it's in the Middle East or elsewhere. So I do worry about extremists taking extreme action.
No specific reason
on this case, and no intelligence that has me alarmed, but I continue to worry about it. And we, of course, take the proper warning procedures in our various embassies. But all you can do is make clear to people there are these dangers.
President, what's your best assessment of the situation today?
The best assessment is that I am very encouraged by the worldwide support for sanctions in the United Nations. I am very encouraged by the King Fahd's determination to stand up against this reckless action taken by Saddam Hussein. I am pleased the way the alliance, our allies, are coming through. And I am determined that the economic sanctions that are already beginning to bite against Iraq can be tightened up even more. And so at this juncture, I've got a lot to be grateful for. I'm very pleased with the way our defense forces, on short notice, answered the call to mobilization that I put out, and the way, the professional manner in which they moved these forces without incident. And so there's a lot of good things out there. The troubling thing is we're up against a man who is known for his brutality and irrationality, and who has taken a step that, though widely condemned, has still not been reversed. Well, the United Nations has already moved for Chapter 7 sanctions, which are all-encompassing. And I'm not prepared to use the word blockade, but I am prepared to say that we will do whatever is necessary to see that the exports from Iran referred to in chapter under the UN resolution do not go forward. pipelines, and that means saying that the product does not get to market that might attempt to. But I'm not prepared to go further than that for several reasons, but I would just leave it right there right now. But we're moving ships. The British and the French are moving ships. Others will be moving ships right at this very minute. Canada is announcing that they are joining with some ships. And so we'll just let those signals go out that there is a determination on the part of a lot of countries to implement the UN action. A lot less of it is getting to market, but I cannot tell you that it is totally off, out of the market.
Are you saying you made that if an Iraqi oil ship went out today, U.S. ships would stop it, or some ship would stop it?
I didn't say that.
I may ask that.
What is your question?
If an Iraqi ship went out today with oil, would a U.S. ship or another ship from the Allies stop it?
I would advise Iraqi ships not to go out with oil. No, I just leave it right there, because there are a lot of things going on right now that I don't feel like commenting on.
Mr. President, you mentioned earlier about terrorism, that all you can say is that there is some risk because this man is known for his brutality and his irrationality. Is there any kind of warning you would give to the American people?
Yeah, I'd say don't go to Iraq right now. How's that? Don't go to Kuwait. You'll find it difficult to land. No, but it's a very good question, and certainly I'd say to Americans, be careful about travel to certain areas right now. But there's been concerns about terrorism for many years, and those concerns have been there long before this irrational action by Saddam Hussein, and they are ongoing, because, you know, you could well see terrorist groups try to capitalize on this.
Other places than the Middle East?
Well, I think they've always been advised to be careful of travel. I'm not prepared to say nobody should travel to any place in the Middle East. I'm not prepared to say that at all.
What about outside the Middle East?
I'd be careful wherever you go these days.
Did you have any concern about your own trip to Cape Bunkport? You'll be able to stay on top of the gate when you come here?
I think we're going to have a safe trip. Are you referring to the safety of the trip? I can easily stay here. We have highly complex and highly efficient communications. I have some of my top advisors here. Others will be coming up there from time to time. I expect to see Jim Baker up there very soon. And I'm in very close. I will be in very close touch with Pentagon officials or whoever's behind National Security Council right now. It'll be General Scowcroft. So I'm determined that life goes on. I will have a busy schedule, busier than I'd like to have had of contacts. In fact, I got a list of calls that I'll be making over the next couple of days. Not all to Middle East, incidentally. And so it'll be a little different than I had hoped, but I think I'm doing the right thing. I think the American people want to see life go on, so long as they understand that their president and his top officials are on top of a troubled situation. So that's the way I looked at it, and if I find it gets... matters seem to be require my going back. It's an hour and a half to go back, so I think we're in pretty good shape on that. Yeah. Haven't you seen the telephone in my golf cart? Or boat? Word of honor. Well, I talked, where was it? We talked to, where was it? We were out in the Fidelity last time. That was one. Yeah, that was one. But no, the other day we were out and talked overseas, I believe it was. In any event, I think I should reassure the American people that the communication is extraordinarily good. And if I found that I needed meetings with these top officials or with foreign officials, and it would be more convenient to do it in Washington, it's very easy come back.
Is that fair at all, Mr. President?
No. I think the American people will support what I'm just... You mean on this?
You're going to go on a vacation at the same time as Philip.
Not at all. Because I'm going to be working. Normally, you know what I've said is, look, if I'm on vacation, I want to have a vacation. And I don't want to try to kid the American people that I'm working. Play and play hard. And work like hell the rest of the time when you're in Washington. And I think I've done that. Go to work early in the morning, go home late at night. This one will be different because there are some tasks that I must undertake up here. But so it'll be a little, it'll be legitimately a combination of work and play. But I don't want to deceive the American people. Just tell them what you think and ask for their support. And I think people will understand that. So that's the way I approach this. You know, what you don't want to do is appear to be held hostage in the White House to events. And I'm not going to do that. That's why we have all this sophisticated intelligence. And so I feel all right about it. Your vital national security interests and then say, well, we can't undertake these because there are other pressing problems. There are other pressing problems. But this is so fundamental to the security of the United States and to the free world and indeed to the whole integrity of a lot of free countries around the world that when I went to do this, I didn't say, listen, please give me a cost estimate to do it. This is what we have to do. And so... probably will, but as you look at some of the forces, you know, we've not had to enhance the armed force units that they're all there. It's not like a mobilization where you bring in a lot of people that are not on the payroll. So you have a lot of costs that are ongoing that can apply here to the forces in Saudi Arabia just as they'd apply to them if they were sitting in a base in the United States. Having said that, there will be additional costs, a lot of it logistical support, getting the materials there, but we're beginning now to get some hard estimates on this. But regrettably, this is just something that we have to do. And you're faced with decisions where you can't say, I'm not going to do this because of the arts or the education or the drug fight or whatever. This is something that is in the national interest, and it is essential that we do it. And I'm very gratified that the American people seem to understand that. And I would cite the strong support for what I've done as something that makes me feel they do understand that. Well, I think that they more than likely would, and I think that the Kuwaitis have already made clear that they want to help with some of the expenses involved, to the Turks, for example. So there's I think you'll see a rather cooperative effort, those that have military forces and those who mainly have funds, but I don't know exactly on the Saudis. We haven't gone into that I know of.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I hope you get a little relaxation.
We've been listening to remarks by President Bush aboard Air Force One. He described Saddam Hussein's remarks today, calling for a holy war as an ineffective attempt to rally support in the Arab nations. He was very encouraged by world support for economic sanctions and the response by NATO countries, and he advised Iraqi ships not to attempt to move out with any oil. He also acknowledged the fear of stepped-up terrorist attacks against Westerners. He assured the American people that all would be completely operational from Kenny Bunkport.